Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And for the weather permitting, wow, zowie. For anyone who has found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, our sanctuary is located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone who's looking for a new church home or just another church to go visit, come see us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. This morning's opening scripture is taken from Psalm 139, as printed in our New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, how good you are to us. O great King of the universe, our Creator, our Savior. You who gave us life, you who gave us everything that we need to live. We give honor and praise to you this morning, O Lord. We praise you as our God, as our Savior. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us closer together. And, O Lord, it is us, your children, this morning, on this cold Sunday morning, who stand in need of a touch from you. Every one of us, Lord, stand in need of a touch from you. Touch us, O Lord, in a way that will change us and we won't leave here the same. Have mercy on us this morning, Lord. We thank you for gathering us here together. We thank you for those that braved the weather and came out. And we thank you for those that couldn't come out. And now, Lord, we ask that you would go with us as we go further in our worship service, that all focus will be turned toward you, Jesus. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. I tell you what we're going to do this morning. I'm hearing some snorting and some hacking and some coughing. So I tell you what, on Pass the Peace, why don't you just stand up and just say hello and just wave at that person. Amen. You don't have to move around. Just say hello, okay? Amen. God bless you. Amen. There you go. Amen.
United Methodist Church in Northern Illinois. Actually, we are still blessed no matter how cold it gets here. I talked to my brother the other day who lives up in Rockford, Illinois. He was telling me what the wind chill factor is, -40 degrees up there. So whatever, 10, 20 here, we still got it good. All right, so we have birthdays coming up this week. Today we have a birthday for Jaden Austin Neal. And on the 17th, we have Eric Williams. Let's sing. Wait, don't forget Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is tomorrow. And actually, my brother's birthday is tomorrow, too, which is pretty cool. So, happy birthday. Announcements I see at the bottom here. On the 17th of January, which is, let's see, Monday is the 15th, so Wednesday the 17th at 5:30 at the John Lemons Hall is the admin council meeting, if you want to go to that. And then on the 21st, which is next Sunday, they have the we're having a luncheon at the Fellowship Hall following the service. Yeah, go ahead.
The luncheon is going to be a soup. We have a sign-up sheet if you would like to bring a soup and or bread, crackers, desserts. But there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex on the table. And I'm also asking for the number of attendees to help set up tables and make sure that we have enough space. I don't want to put up too much, but yet I don't want to have not enough. And if you have any questions, just see me after church. Thank you.
This is a tag team about the luncheon. You need to know that there's going to be a fun option also at the luncheon. And Janie is going to set up her karaoke system. And we are going to be playing a musical game. So it'll be a lot of fun and entertainment as well as delicious soup lunch. Thank you.
Okay, so choir members and bell choir members, in light of the weather that's going to happen on Monday night and Tuesday and all that, we're going to not have rehearsal this week. Choir members and bell members, no choir this week. No choir rehearsal on Tuesday. Would you stand for the opening hymn? Please, one more time.
Sisters, you do also to me. We have a member of our congregation that does have a monetary need at this time, and we ask that you prayerfully consider providing an extra contribution for an unnamed member. Please remember that's what we are about, helping one another. Now let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us the hearts of givers, the hearts to care for those around us. We ask that you take our tithes and our offerings and use them always for your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 12, a warning against hypocrisy. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their proclivities wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. You do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Transform us into the Christ-like holiness you desire. Teach us to be humble as you are humble and to love others generously with selfless service and kindness. Increase our zeal for your kingdom and set us free from the trinity of selfish pride and self-concern. Instill in us, O God, your holy desire to live for your greater glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We come to that time in the service where the Word of God is proclaimed. We ask that you prepare your hearts and your minds to hear the Word that the Holy Spirit has given through Pastor Ted. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you strengthen Pastor Ted, that you give him the courage to be your instrument, to spread your Word to us so that we can take your Word to the world. We ask, Lord, that you give us attentive minds so that we can hear your Word and absorb it. Let us take your message to a hurting world. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, kids. Come on down here. You guys can sit, wherever you want. There you go. Okay. I wanted to start this morning. We're talking about a scripture from Matthew. And so this morning I wanted to start by playing a little game. Do you remember the game Simon Says? Okay, so the rules, remember, if I say Simon Says, you're supposed to do it, but if I don't say it, you're not, right? Okay. We're going to try something else. We're going to try doing the opposite. So if I say, Simon says, put your hands on your head, don't put your hands on your head. Okay? So Simon says, touch your nose. Okay? But remember, you're not going to do what I say, okay? So you're going to do the opposite. So Simon says, clap your hands. You guys are pretty good at this. Simon says, touch your ear. Okay, well, let me see. You did a great job doing that. And now I want to tell you about what we're talking about in our lesson this morning. It talks about practice what you preach. Now, what do you think that means, practice what you preach? Any ideas? Well, it kind of means that if you tell someone to do something, you need to do it too. So you have to practice what you preach means you don't do the opposite thing of what you say. Instead, you do what you say others should do. Have you ever heard your parents say to you, maybe, do what I say, not what I do? Okay? Because sometimes your parents might say, put a jacket on, it's cold outside. And they go outside without the jacket. And you say, well, how come you don't have a jacket on? And they say, do what I say, not what I do. Okay? So that's kind of what the Pharisees in Jesus' day were doing. You see, Jesus had something to say about practice what you preach. He was talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because they would make all these rules for people to abide by, but they didn't do it. So if they told them that they couldn't eat certain foods, but then they would go home and eat them. or they would tell them, don't make yourself be important. Don't take the best seat. But then they wanted to take the best seat. So Jesus said that's not right. So what did Jesus tell us about the teachers like these? You would think that he would tell us, don't listen to them, right? You don't have to do what they say. But that's not what he said. He said, obey these teachers and do everything that they say, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they say. So when it comes to living the Christian life, we need to make sure that we do what we say. We need to be kind and we need to help others. And if we tell somebody else, you shouldn't be mean to that person, you should be nice to them, then we should be nice to them too, right? So I have a little poem that I'm going to give you each a copy of if you want. Some of them are in cursive and some are printed, so you guys can read them. But it says, you can know a lot of scripture and you have the gift to teach, but what is more important is to practice what you preach. So let's pray. Dear God, help us to be people who do what we say so others can see the love of Jesus in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. Children. Amen. Good morning. So good to be here with you this morning on this nice, cold, and frosty morning. But I'm not worried about that, because God is good in the cold just like he is in the heat. Amen? So don't you worry about it. The Lord will take care of you. Some of you got some pretty sharp-looking coats, so you ain't worried about it anyway. You're pretty warm. This morning we're going to talk about something that the Lord was very big on when he was here on earth. When he went about preaching and went about teaching his disciples and his followers, he's talking about, you see, Jesus always, and he did this on purpose, he was always in conflict with the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, they were the teachers of the law. They were the folks that the people went to when they had a question. They were the ones that were setting the standard for righteous living. And Jesus knew that. And those things are all right. But he had an issue with the Pharisees. And this is what he says. He says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. You see, they're in the right place doing the right thing. In verse 3, he tells them, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Well, now, when I was growing up, I was always told, Ted, be careful what you say. Ted, be careful what you do. Ted, be careful how you treat people. And when I got older and I entered into the ministry, they would tell me, always remember that the Lord is holding you accountable for what you do, and more importantly, what you say. And the same it goes for all of us. He is holding us accountable for what we say and do. Don't think that folks are not watching you. When you go around telling people that you're a believer, that I'm following Christ and I love the Lord, you know, when you do that, people are going to start saying, well, now that Ted, he's a little different from us. But when they see me cursing right alongside of them, when they see me enjoying the same dirty jokes, then I become what Jesus called the Pharisees. Anybody know what that word is? It starts with an H.
You become a hypocrite. And you become an actor. And that's what hypocrite in the Greek means. You become one who acts like you're a Christian, but you're really not a Christian. You're only doing it for fame, for fortune, for people to notice you and to see just how spiritual you are. And this is what the Lord is saying to the Pharisees. He says, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. If you can remember, if you can contrast it with Jesus talk, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened down. He says, and what? I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's contrasting what they're doing with what he's teaching. And dear ones, we ought to be mindful that we need to follow the Lord's teaching. Amen? We need to be careful about what people speak into our lives. We need to be careful about who we latch out to on and listen to. I would submit to you this morning that you need to listen to Jesus. You need to listen to Jesus and his teaching. If you find me or anyone else here teaching something other than Jesus and the gospel, then you need to speak up and say, hey, this is not right. So in Matthew 23:1-12, the paragraph heading is a warning against hypocrisy. But in these three short paragraphs, Jesus identifies three tendencies of the Pharisees, which he constantly called them out for. One of them, is hypocrisy, and the other two is judgmentalism and pride. Now, I want to remind you that when Jesus was preaching on this earth, and what he was doing, he was demonstrating and he was calling people into what he called the kingdom of God. And this is what his theme was, the dominant theme. So you could imagine today that if he was introducing this concept today, it would probably be called something like the network of God or the dream of God. But this concept of a kingdom, it worked well with first century Israel. And even then, they misunderstood his meaning. So what is this kingdom of God? Why, it's a way of life. It's a way to live in this world that allows us to participate with God in all the things that he has for us. And while we're doing this, we can experience life, real life, abundant life. And this is what Jesus had promised us with the kingdom of God. Now, I got to warn you, this particular way of life is counterculture in many ways because it goes against the dominant value of the culture around us. You see, and this was true back then, and it's still today. You see, it takes courage, determination, and the support of Christian friends to live this way that Jesus wants to wants us to live. But most importantly, it takes a radical transformation at the very core of our being. It takes a change so dramatic, a change of heart, that Jesus said it was like being born all over again. Everything changes as we surrender more and more to the Spirit of God, living out the resurrection of life in us. So, he tells them this. He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, Jesus is not weighing people down with cumbersome laws and detailed requirements. In fact, his whole purpose was to free us from that kind of religious legalism. Now, let's look at the word yoke here briefly. It says it can have a double meaning in this particular passage in Matthew 11:28-30. The literal meaning, of course, is obvious. A yoke, it's a wooden harness that they put on, or a neck brace. They put two teams of oxen together to purpose of making the load to pull a whole lot easier. And you know what? If you look at it that way, that's great, because the word yoke was also a first century metaphor for the rabbi's main teaching or philosophy, and the disciples would have known this. So Jesus was saying, my teaching is an easier load than that of the Pharisees. I won't overburden you with heavy requirements. And that's wonderful news for us as Christ followers. Jesus will expose hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And you know what, folks? He'll expose our hypocrisy also. Oh, I tell you, folks, you go around telling folks not to do this and not to do this, and you end up doing the same thing. The Lord's going to let you know something. Amen? He's going to tell you that, hey, you know, that's hypocrisy, Ted. You need to stop doing that. You need to do what you tell people. You tell them not to smoke, then you don't need to smoke. You tell them not to drink, then you don't need to drink. You know. So, if you look at verse 5, he says this. In verse 5, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. You see. Now, you compare that with Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, 1 through 18, where he introduces a new word to describe the Pharisees. He introduces the word hypocrites. And he called them this a few times. Now, that word originally meant actor. It was used of all the actors in classical Greece theaters at that time. And it says there were several of them in Palestine. And Jesus and his hearers, they knew what that term was, and they knew how to use that term. But now Jesus is using that word to describe the Pharisees and all their religious activities. And there were three that he'll list in Matthew chapter 6. He says, he talks about praying, fasting, and giving to the poor. They were acting, doing these things like they were acting that for an audience. Let me tell you something about prayer, dear ones. If you want to pray to the Lord, you don't have to have a long, drawn-out prayer to do that. Amen? You really don't. If you want to get a hold to the Lord, the best example I can give you is in Matthew 6, where he talks about the Lord's Prayer. And these are very short sentences that Jesus talked about, you know. And I want, when you get home, read that prayer and see how short it is. The point I'm trying to make is pour your heart out to God and be real with him. You don't have to give him a long theological discourse about this or that. Lord, I need help. My life is really messed up. Please have mercy on me. Now, if you mean that and say that, I believe that the Lord, it will help you. And in the particular text in Matthew 6, Jesus goes on to describe three scenarios. First of all, he says, first giving to the poor. See, back in those days, the hypocrites, they blew trumpets to call attention to themselves. You see, but Jesus tells us this. He says, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You say, you know, in other words, don't announce what you're giving. Just give from your heart. Give from your heart. Then he talks about praying. He says the hypocrites did it only in public places to be heard and seen by all. But Jesus said this, go into your closet and close the door and pray. He says go in secret and pray. Don't put on a show for people to see that you're praying. The Lord knows what you need. He knows why you're praying. You see, it's real important to understand that when you come before the Lord, your motivation, why you're there, is most important. Most important. He says, go in your closet and shut the door. Billy Graham once said in an interview, he says, I think sometimes my chief contribution to the kingdom has been as a decoy to draw the enemy's attention away from all those dear ones who pray faithfully in their closets. I wonder this morning, do you have a prayer closet that you can go to? Do you have a place that you can go to in secret and pour your heart out to the Lord when things are not going right? And even when things are going right, go in and pray and get a hold of the Lord. You see, he removes the pressure to pray for a long period of time, you know, in order to appear or feel spiritual. He gave his followers a very simple prayer, and it takes, it says, less than 1 minute to say it. You know, and then the other one he talks about is fasting. The hypocrites actually used, in those days, makeup to disfigure their faces so that everyone would know that they're fasting. Jesus said this. He says, fix yourselves up like you're going out for a night on the town, and don't let anyone know that you're fasting. This comes from the Message translation. In other words, if you're fasting, no one is supposed to know but you and the Lord. Amen? You don't have to tear your face up. If you're fasting, then fast. And remember that no one needs to know that. That should be something between you and the Lord. You know, so remember this. Jesus is showing us a picture of the inner kingdom life. He's showing us illustrations, not laws. He never said, never pray in public. And whatever you do, never let anyone see you do a good deed. That's why there is no conflict between Matthew 5:16, where he says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, Jesus wants his people good deeds to be known, but he wants you to do it for the right reason, that praise may be given to God. Jesus highlights the quality of humility. In verse 11, Jesus said something that must have really flipped the disciples and those that were around him. It kind of turned, it probably flipped them around. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Isn't that something? In the kingdom of God, the greatest will be your servant. You see, in Philippians 2 is a passage that some people think that this ought to be a hymn, and it may be a hymn. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, in Matthew 23, Jesus is highlighting the differences between the religion of the Pharisees and the way of Jesus. And these differences are very important to understanding Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God. Let me go over them again with you. The Pharisees lay heavy burdens of legalism on people. Our Lord's burden is light. The Pharisees do everything for people to see. Jesus teaches hidden goodness. The Pharisees expect to be rewarded for their righteousness. Jesus teaches the way of humility, because God will exalt those who humble themselves. So I want to ask you this question this morning. In what ways can you live and love more like Jesus this week? How can we honor Jesus in secret with our lives, with devotion and prayer? In what ways can we open up ourselves to humility and allow the Spirit to work in our hearts as we are transformed and conformed more fully to the image of Christ? In closing, I ask you this question. How can we practice what Christ preaches?
Remember this, dear one. When you sing those songs about, oh, how I love you, oh, I'm all where you want me to go, oh, I'm all what you want me to do, sing it to those God's presence. And he needs your attention. And if he calls you to do something, oh, he calls you to perform something for him. If he's calling you into ministry or into servanthood, he has asked you to do it in your heart. You stay in the place. When you go out to HB or Walmart or whatever, don't run into that person who may know you.
Stand for a hymn of invitation. Sweet low, sweet chariot.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot,
We've come to the end of this worship service. But Lord, our worship must never stop. We will continue to worship you. We will continue to call upon you, Lord, just like you will always continue to be with us. Be with this congregation, Lord, as we move forward, as they go to their different destinations. Guide them and give them safe passage. We pray for those that were lifted up today, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are more apt to hear our prayers than we are to pray. And we thank you for that, Lord. Bless this congregation, Lord. Whatever's on their hearts, on their minds this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it be turned toward you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we depart from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves, and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe. Be careful, especially during this bad weather as we're driving around. Others may not be as careful as we wish. And let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise?
Immortal, invisible.